topic for this morning is really background for where we're going ultimately in terms of a discussion of chatzitzos and the question of what constitutes a chatzitza to disqualify immersion of a kli. Stickers, special attachments, how much do you have to take apart? What if I have an electric urn? Do I have to topple the base? All of these discussions start with the rule of requiring tevila of the entire kli. So, how much do I need to immerse? So, if you take a look at the pasuk in Vayikra, that's where we start. And source number one, nefesh asher tigabo. This is talking about kelim tameim, not about tevilas kelim. But nefesh asher tigabo v'tam ahad ha'arev v'lo yocham en akadashim ki rachatz b'sero b'mayim uva shemesh v'taher. This is a pasuk regarding a person's immersion from Tumah. What does it have to do with us at all? So the key, and the Brisa in Taras Kohanim picks up on it, on that pasuk, is the term Uba Hashemesh V'Taher. Usually, when the Torah wants to say you have to wait until sunset to be Tahor, you go to Mikvah, and then by sunset you're Tahor, what phrase does the Torah use? Right, V'Tameh Ha'arev. That's the normal one. Uba Hashemesh V'Taher is odd. So the Medrash picks up on it and says, Rachatz b'sero b'mayim, he has to wash himself in water. Yochol yemarchitz eiver eiver, I might think one limited time would be sufficient. Tamalomar uva hashemesh v'taher. No, that's the usage of uva hashemesh, the sun will set and it'll be tahor, meaning, ma bias shemesh kulo ka'achas, afrachitz b'mayim kulo ka'echa. Just like when the sun sets, the entire sun sets, you don't see part of the sun dip below the horizon and then come back up and then the other part of the sun dip below the horizon and such. So too, immersion in the mikvah is the entire body at once. And that's brought by the Rambam Lahalacha in Hilchos Mikvos, source number 3. Kol ha-tovel tzarech sheyitbol kol gufo, kishu arum, bivas achas, entire body unclothed at once. V'mahaya bal seyar, what if a person is hairy? So he has to worry about the hair being an interruption between the skin and the water. Yadbil kol seyar rosho, he has to get all his head, hair of his head underwater. V'arayu kegufo din etara, biblically, his hair is considered part of his body. We're going to come back to that a little later. That's interesting. I bet that's a typo in the CD-ROM. I wasn't careful. Shenitbulu, it should say. It should be rather than mitbulu. Shenitbulu bibigdeyan. All those who are tame, who went to mikvah. It's a nun, yeah. In their clothing, also lahanet tevila. The tevila still works, even though we said you have to be arum. Mibnei shamayim boin bahen veinun chotzin, because really the water will get into the clothing. There are the big tshuva regarding the bathing suit by Rav Moshe on this issue. V'chin anida shetavla bibigadeh muteres lebala, and so too if the nida went to mikvah while she was still clothed. We don't recommend this lechatchila. But she'll be muteres to her husband. Correct. So we see, though, this requirement of kol gufo, the entire body, which raises a certain question. When it comes to the laws of chatzitza, we already probably know, going into this, that there are certain chatzitzos which are not chatzitzos. So the word chatzitza, literally, we're going to translate as an interruption. Okay? There are... let me give you the preface outside, and then we'll see it inside. Different types of chatzitza. Chatzitza number one, the entire body that is supposed to go to mikvah is covered with something. That for sure is a chatzitza. That's for sure no good. Then you have times when only part of the body is covered. However, it's the sort of cover that you want to remove. You don't plan to have it there. So for example, you as a person are going to mikvah and there's paint on your hands. And you're not somebody who works in paint all the time and likes to have paint on his hands. You're somebody who's annoyed by it and you're planning on removing it. You are makbid olav. Then you have something which covers the majority of the body, but you're not makbid. Such as, you are a painter, and in fact you walk around all day with paint on you. So it covers the majority of your body, and you're not...
considered part of your body, in that sense, no?
Sorry? It's considered part of
your
body, exactly.
That would be part of your body.
Exactly. And then you have the case where it covers the minority of your body, and you're not makbid. You don't really care about it. So the rule is that the first three that we mentioned constitute a chatzitza. Okay? If it covers the whole body, if it covers the majority of the body and you're not makbid, or if it covers the minority of the body and you are makbid. However, if it covers the minority of the body and you don't care about it, then it's not a chatzitza. So here's the question which the Aruch HaShulchan now wants to address in source number 4. Why can't I say that if you go to mikvah and you don't have your entire body in the water, it's okay, because it's just like immersion with a chatzitza that's on the minority of the body that you're not makbid about. In the same way that if, let's say, I had somehow or other I gotten a little spot of ink on the back of my neck. And, you know, I wear a shirt with a collar, so no one sees it. So I don't care. I can go for days like that, and it's not going to bother me. If I go to mikvah like that, it's kosher. So why is it that if I go to mikvah and that spot wasn't exposed to water, it's no good? Why is it for chatzitza I care, and for, I don't care, I should say, and for exposure to water I do care? So that's source number four. The Aruch HaShulchan takes this on. Below dummy, it's not comparable, he says, L'davar chotzitz al mikzas gufa, to the case of chatzitza on part of the body, where we say, Dimenat Torah ain't a chatzitza, biblically it's not a chatzitza, even if you are makvid. Kamoshi is bar, as we'll see. Right? The skin under the chatzitza is not exposed to water. So he says, why isn't that an issue? Delo dami lezeh, that's not like this. Debisham kol aguf tachas hamayim. In that case, where you have a chatzitza, the entire body is submerged. Ve'eino nira lechutz, it's not visible outside the water. Ve'lachin batal hamikzas lechol aguf divar Torah. So we say that part that's under the chatzitza is batal. Biblically, anyway. Because remember that the miyot, if you are makbid, is still chatzitza. As opposed to where part is outside the water, the whole body has not been immersed. You can't use the term bitul there, because they're not all in one place. What it seems like he's doing is he's defining tevila as separate from the issue of chatzitza. There is a requirement that the whole body be underwater. And then once the whole body is underwater, we have certain laws of chatzitza that pertain. But if you don't have the entire body underwater, the laws of chatzitza don't even kick in. V'lachen, and therefore, im afilu miktsas mitzipor and chutz l'mayim, oseir achas chutz l'mayim, even if it's just one strand of hair that's outside of the water, one part of a fingernail, tzvicha tvila acheres, you gotta immerse again. U'tvila zu eino klum, and the immersion is nothing without that. V'lachen, tzvicha lizor ma'od ma'od bazeh, therefore we have to be very, very careful in this matter. Now, technically, everything we've said seems to be talking about people.
This is me, but this is for Nida specifically, right?
So it appears. But then take a look at the Aruch HaShulchan, the very next note that he makes, which I have here in source number 5, where he tells you this is for Kalim also. He quotes the Torah first, the Lashon HaTorah b'Shulchan Aruch, Sif Aleph, Tzricha, regarding Nida, Tzricha shetitbol kol gufa pepam achas, right? Leficha tzor shalo yaleh shum dav rachotzitz v'chulu adkan l'shonu. He gives you the quote, it has to be the entire body simultaneously. Kolomar, meaning, De'il lo haisa tzricha shetitbol kol gufa pepam achas. If we didn't require the entire body there at once, then afilu nimtza le davra chotzeitz, then even if she came out of the mikvah and found she had a chatzitza, right, shechotzeitz midinah midoraisa midorabanan, something that really was a chatzitza, whether biblically or rabbinically, if yadinim sheis baru, lo hayinu matzvichim pam sheinis tevila l'chol aguf, we wouldn't say go down with your entire body again. Ela shetitbol mekom gufa shechatzitza isa sham. All she would have to do is dip the part that had a chatzitza on it, right? You had a chatzitza on your hand, get rid of the chatzitza, put your hand back in the water, and you're done. Aval achshav shebechreach lidbol kol aguf b'pam achaz. Now that we require a whole body immersion, v'lochein emachrach timtza davar achotzeitz tzitzar tulashen is l'chol aguf. Fine. And then here's the keynote. V'gam betvilas kelim tzarach kulo keachad. And the same rule applies to Kalim. V'lo dami lahagala. He says it's not comparable to Hagala. Remember that in previous shiurim we've talked about whether you compare Tvilas Kalim to Tvila from Tuma or to Hagala. Here's another ramification. He says this is not like Hagala when you're kashering a kli. D'b'hagala ein sarach rak lahaflid ha'isser. When you're doing Hagala, you only need to make sure to remove the prohibited element that was absorbed in it. Vein nafkamina, vein maflito, miktsas, miktsas, uvein kulo ke'acha. There's no difference between whether it happens a little bit at a time or all at once. So in other words, if I have a kli that's too big to do Hagala on all at once, so I do Hagala on part, and then Hagala on the other part. There is a discussion within Halacha about whether you have to be concerned that whatever was absorbed in the Kli is going to pass from one part to another. When you do your partial Hagala on this, maybe it goes over to the other part. But what he's telling you is that theoretically, at least, you can do Hagala in parts. We do it all the time. Right? You ever kasher a sink?
Right.
We don't kasher a sink all at once. I mean, not that I've ever seen. You pour hot water on one part of it, and then you refill, and you pour hot water on another part of it. As a general rule, practical note from someone who has kashered many sinks, you're better off using a small pot less water than trying to do a large pot filled with a lot of water, simply because when you're using the large pot, you're having difficulty holding it, you're afraid of scalding yourself, and therefore you don't carefully hit all the different sections. Much better to take a small pot, do part of it, and then either have many small parts or then reload, so to speak, and do the rest.
Have you burned yourself really badly?
Not lightly, but thank God not badly. There are a few things you pick up as you go along, elbow-length rubber gloves being one of them. Things like pouring it away from yourself instead of toward yourself, things like that. You pick up on
what
things after a while.
What about parts that are closer to yourself?
So you start with those. So he says that's the way it works with Kalim as well. He doesn't give you a source. No one does. They all just take it as a given. Masha'en came b'tvila shem mitumah l'tahara, as opposed to tvila from tumah l'tahara, where it has to be all at once, unlike Hagala. V'yashar l'tar mitzas mitzas ela kulu k'achad. You can't do it partially. Okay. So that's the rule that I have to do tvilas Kalim all at once, like by tvila from tumah, tvila v'nida. What about the law of Chatzitza? Where does this come from? So take a look, please, at source number 6. First, you have a line that appears in Erev and Dalet Amid Aleph, and then the Gemara follows up on Dalet Amid Beis. Amar Bichya Bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Shi'urin, Chatzitzin, Umachitzin, Halach Alamoshe Misinai. Each of those has its own discussion. We're picking up on the Chatzitza part. He says, the laws of Chatzitza are Halach Alamoshe Misinai. When we say Halach Alamoshe Misinai in the Gemara, as Rashi explains it, what we mean is, this is something that we know has always been true. It's always been a part of Torah. We just don't have a pasuk for it. So it's simply something the Jews have always known, because Moshe must have taught it to us. I don't have a pasuk I can point to. So the Gemara says, really? I don't have a pasuk to point to? Source number 7, Chatzitz and Delraisa Ninhu. That's a straight-out biblical pasuk. Dichsiv. V'rachatz b'mayim es kol b'soro. Right? All of the flesh. So shelo yei davar chotzeitz bein b'soro l'mayim. That there should be nothing that interrupts between your flesh and the water. And b'mayim, the pasuk says, means b'mei mikvah. And kol b'saro gives you the shear for it. Mayim shakol gufo ola bahen. Right? Water that your entire body would enter into. V'kamahen. And how much is that? Ama al ama barum shalosh amos. Ama by an ama by 3 amos. Very interesting discussion between the Stipler and others in his day as to whether that can change. If at some point people become all uniformly smaller or uniformly larger, does that shear for mikvah change? Is the Torah simply saying kol b'saro and therefore now it actually vary. But he says, "Mishir Chachamim may mikvah ba'am sa'ah." The Chacham evaluated and said, "Ama by an ama by 3 amos is 40 sa'ah." But his point is,
"Is that rich sa'ah the same as 9 kavin?"
No, 9 kavin is far less. Yeah. So he says, "Ki itzrik hilchasah." So what is Alach l'Moshe Misinai? The Alach l'Moshe Misinai is l'sa'aro, is as far as one's hair. Uchadarabba Baravuna, as Baravuna said, Dama Rabba Baravuna, Nima Achas Kshura, Chotzetzes. If a person wants to go into the mikvah and has a hair that's knotted in itself, that's a chatzitza. Shalosh, if there are 3 that are all tangled together, Einan Chotzetzes is not a chatzitza, the reason being because the water will pass easily between them. It's not going to be a tight knotting. Shtayim Eini Yodea, there are 2 knotted that I don't know how to deal with, he says. That's the statement so far. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. Saronami del Raiso. He says, what are you talking about? Hair? Hair is also a del Raisa. Here's not a lachal moshmi sinai. I have that from Sukkim also. Disanya, here's a Raisa. Barachatz es kol bisaro. He shall wash all of his flesh. Es hatafel le bisaro. That means that which is secondary to his flesh. We're getting it from the word es. Vizehu sayar, and that's a reference to hair. That's a reference to hair. So I have a pasuk for hair. So he says, fine. He says, you're right. This is our 3rd attempt to explain what exactly is the halacha l'moshe misinai. It is as far as the laws of covering the majority or minority of one's body. Where one cares or where one does not care. Rabbi Yitzchak, as Rabbi Yitzchak taught, Rabbi Yitzchak said, Devar Torah biblically, Ruba umakbid alav chotzeitz. A chatzitza is something that covers the majority of one's body, and one cares about it. One doesn't want it there. V'she'eno makbid alav. So I don't know why I said in the beginning something about covering the whole body. Leave that out. If it's the majority of the body and one cares about it, that's a chatzitza biblically. V'she'eno makbid olam, if you don't care about it, eino chotzes, it isn't considered a chatzitza.
If it's covering the whole body and you don't care about it, it's not chotzes?
Biblically, correct. Biblically, the only thing that is a chatzitza is majority of the body and your makbid.
And you care about it.
Right. They decreed about the majority that you're not makbid for because of the case of which the majority and you are makbid. And also they decreed against the case in which it's minority of the body and you're makbid because of the case where it's majority and you're makbid. So from majority and makbid, we learned minority and makbid, and we learned majority and not makbid. So that's my halacha l'Moshe. That's what he says is learned. It's a gezera on this halacha Moshe Misinai. The halacha Moshe Misinai is rubo umakbid olav. So the ligzer nami al miyuto she'eno makbid mishum miyuto amakbid inami mishum rubo she'eno makbid. Why don't I say let's ban also where there's something in the minority of the surface and you're not makbid? Because of these other cases where it's a minority and you are makbid, or inami mishum rubo she'eno makbid, where it's majority and you're not, he gufa gzera v'ana nekum v'nigzer gzera l'gzera, to which he says we don't do double layered decrees. That's a great discussion of its own when we do gzera l'gzera, when we say it's really chad gzera, but it's not for right now. That's the core idea. One more note though, how do we measure hair in terms of rove and mute? How exactly do we evaluate this? You're telling me miut and I'm not makbid is not a chatzitza problem. How do I measure? Do I say if you have tangles in your hair, we measure it against all of your hair or against your entire body?
No, but the hair doesn't matter. He said it's just part of the basar.
We said where? No, we said that it is. The hair is a chatzitza. We brought it. Our second attempt on halacha Moshe Misinai was that. Right, Yisro Chazalasaro. The only thing we said was that if you have three hairs that are tied together, they're not really going to be tight. They're going to be considered loose.
Well, why would even one be a problem? Hair, if hair is part of the body, it's like, oh, this body's blocking the part of a body. It's like putting my arm here underwater like this. It's not.
That's correct, and that's a chatzitza.
But why would it be? This is part of the body. It's going to get on this part of the body.
Because water has to get to every surface, and everything that's normally external is considered a surface. So me going like this is the same problem. When someone goes to mikvah, we tell them to make sure to keep their body loose.
But at any rate, if the hair is stuck in a knot up here, this is the natural place for hair.
But the problem is that you have natural exposed surfaces of hair that all have to have exposure to the water.
But that depends on how the way your hair grows on your scalp.
What do you mean?
Everyone has a different bald spot, so to speak.
Right. We're not talking about... I'm sorry, now I think I understand your question. We're not talking about the skin underneath the hair. We're not talking about your scalp. We're talking about the hairs themselves. In other words, this hair that I'm holding... My hair's a little short, but this hair that I'm holding here needs to have water on all of its sides.
Uh-huh.
So if it's tied up, if you have somebody with braids, right, or you have hair that just gets tangled and knotted, then you have a problem because that's now not going to be exposed to water in the spots where it's tangled. The water won't get there. That's the concern. Right. Now, there is a discussion here also regarding makbid and non-makbid. I had a case of a giyores who had her hair in cornrows. And she said she hadn't taken them out in years and years and years. So when I did Giyur, I never did it myself. I was working with the Vod in Queens, New York. I just taught them and then brought them to New York for the Giyur. So they asked a Shaila there, and we're told that since she has always worn it that way for years and doesn't plan to remove it, she could go to Mikvah with her hair in cornrows. And it's considered non-makbid, it's considered miut. Very interesting answer. And it plays into this discussion here. If you take a look at source number 8, Rashi says, on this issue of Rubo, right, Rubo, Sheno, Makbid, and all that, he says, Rov, Saharo, the majority of the hair, okay, Shem, Yesh, Bo, Dabar, Achotzeitz, that if there's something in it that's going to cause a chatzitza, he doesn't talk about necessarily even being tied together, Kigon, Dam, Yavesh, you have dried blood on the hair, Udiyo, or ink, Vitid Yavesh, dried clay, Vizevas Yavesh, dried pitch, Osha Kosha Rubo Achas Achas, or you have a lot of the hairs that are individually knotted. such that eventually the majority of it is tangled up. So Rashi frames it as an issue for hair as well. Take a look at the flip side. Tell us about the source number 9.
Why would blood be a problem?
Because if it dries, it's a chatzitza.
Well, then if you try and rinse it off before you go to the mikvah, you're risking... the dry blood might be clotting something that might be... might be a scab or something, and it might not.
Yeah, well, scabs are their own problem. But
you can't pick up a scab, it's part of your flesh now.
Well, so that's actually, there's a serious in depth discussion about scabs. We won't really be getting into it because we're going through last Caleb, and Caleb tend not to have scabs. But it is worth knowing that scabs are a very tricky issue when it comes to a woman going to mikvah. Take a look at source number 9, where Tosfos deals with this issue. Dvar Torah Ruba Umakvid Olav Chotzeitz. So he quotes Rashi first. Pirsh Bakuntras Bisaharo. The Rashi says we're talking about one's hair, mashma, a bisaro mashma, aval bisaro, a filumiyuto sheno makbid chotzeitz. The Rashi seems to say that when it comes to hair, that's where we distinguish between majority and minority, but that for flesh, even a miut is, and you're not mock, but it is going to be chotzeitz. And Tosfos challenges this on several grounds. He challenges this point. There's one piece, though, in particular that I wanted to get to within this Tosfos. We'll just walk through the Tosfos. The Kashlar Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam is bothered by this idea that by skin, even minority and not makbid is going to be chotzeitz. First of all, the parakah aral amrinan nachwiz miuberes shenis gaira ein benat sarach tevila. We talk about a woman who converts to Judaism while she's pregnant. So the rule is her kid is considered to have immersed as well. There's no need for a new immersion. Uka Amar, and there in that Gemara, they said, if you're telling me the reason why you don't need to immerse the kid is because of Rabbi Yitzchak, I added in the bracketed notes are mine. The Bekpeda Talia, right? The Rabbi Yitzchak says it's only if you're Makbid. And here you're not Makbid, right? The kid is going to be born. Source number 9, the third line now, the beginning of the third line. Ha Amar Rav Kahana lo shanu ela rubo. Aval kulo, avilu b'sheno Makbid chotzeitz. He says, Tosfos says, if you're telling me that the Gemara in Yevamos says, that if a woman comes to convert and she is pregnant, the kid inside will not need a new immersion once he's born. And there they say, why is that? If it's because we say, well, she's not makbid, we know that Rav Kahana says that if the whole body is covered by a chatzitza, that's a chatzitza, even if you're not makbid. End of quote. So he says, "V'hashda adraba habalel meimar kiamar biyitz like the Beit Talia b'saro b'saro miyamar." He says, according to Rashi, as if I understand Rashi correctly, by your skin, even in a minority of it, that's not makbid, it still chotzeitz. So how could you tell me that the fact that she's not makbid about the fetus means that that there's no chatzitza for it? The Odin further, further, the Gemara talks about regarding a shochet, regarding a butcher, that the blood on his clothing is not a chatzitza. But now you've just told me that the law of miut shenu makbid is a hair unique law, it's hair specific. The Odin further, e bisaro davka, if this is talking about his hair specifically, Im King Kishanemar Allah Lamoshim Bisinai, Hutzruch Lomar Sa'aro, Rubo, Umakbid Olav Chotzeitz. In that case, when the Halach Lamoshim Bisinai was presented, that's when we said that by hair, Rubo Umakbid Olav Chotzeitz, specifically by hair, Im King Sa'aro Havi Allah Lamoshim Bisinai, Vemait Sarah Krala Sa'aro. In that case, why is it in the Gemara we said Kol Bisaro comes to include hair? I mean, not Kovazaro, sorry, S Hatafel of Bisaro. We have questions like that in many places in the Gemara. They should have challenged it. This is Halacha Moshe Sinai. Why do I need a pasuk at all? Tosfos has a big problem with Rashi's idea that that hair is specifically where it's where we say Rovu Makbid, Rovu not Makbid, Miyuda Makbid, and Miyuda non Makbid. The Ritva gives you another explanation of Rashi. He says that's not what Rashi was trying to say. The source number 10, he tells you what Rashi really meant. Vahad the Pirish Rashi Zal Rubo Ro Saro. Some explain Rashi, he means Rabbeinu Tam, right? Some explain Rashi to say that when regarding hair, Rove is what counts and Machbid is what counts, but not regarding the body. Vikshu, and they challenge this from the sources we just brought. I'm jumping to the ellipsis, to the three dots there in the middle. Abol Nirishlan is Gavin Rashi Zalakar. He says it's not what Rashi meant. Elash Me'inan de Bisaro Bilvad Misharin Barov Umilt, Vein Sarak Lashar Barov Haguf Vasayar Ukidas Hagaonim Zal. He says what Rashi is trying to tell you is that when you measure hair and you try to calculate minority, majority, you don't go by the majority of the body and the hair. The hair is measured alone.
It's a separate entity.
V'shaloki divrei HaRambam sal shekasav shemisharen haguf haser biyachad shein haser guf bifnei atzmo, as opposed to the Rambam, who says the whole thing is together. Rashi ends up being very strict, right? Because think of my case of the woman with the cornrows in her hair, right? So if you measure hair with the whole body, that's a miut. It's a minority of the body. And if she's not makbid, so you're fine. It's miut and not makbid. But if you take the view that Rashi presents, that hair is its own entity, then it's majority of the hair. And then that is a chatzitza, even if you're not makbid. Take a look at the Rambam in source 11. V'yeroi Eli, the Rambam writes, Shesaro shel adam kegufo hu chashuv le'inyan tevila. V'eino keguf bifnei atzmo. The Rambam says, it appears to me, hair is like his body, and it's not like a separate entity. K'dei shenoma rov ha-seyar, that we would say the majority of the hair exclusively. Ela ava pisha kol seyar rosho kasher nima. Even if every single hair on your head is tied up in individual threads, in eino makbid olav, you're not makbid, also lo tevila. The tevila works. Unless, elem ke nistarif l'chotzitz acher agufo, unless you also have chotzitz on the body. V'nimsa kol rov gufo, k'moshe b'yarnu. V'echad anid v'echad sharat tmei and sheish perosh, and sayar, the same rule will apply across the board. So again, just to review what we've seen today. Number one, we said the whole body has to be immersed from uvo ha-shemesh v'taher. We compare it to bias ha-shemesh. This is not the same thing as having a partial chatzitza, because there, with a partial chatzitza, it's in the water. As opposed to if you don't immerse the whole body where it didn't even have tevila in the first place. We take it as a given that this applies to all tevilos, including kelim and toveling, not for tumah, but toveling kelim in general. We said that chatzitza in general is halach lemosh misinai, the Gemara said, as far as the statement of miut v'she'eno makbid, is not going to be a problem, right? The halacha mishmisina is that only rov and makbid is a problem, right? That's halacha mishmisina, and then the Rabbanan added rov and not makbid, or miut and makbid. That left us with miut and non makbid is not a problem. The question then we had as a side note, because it doesn't really relate to Tevilas Kalim, but just as an interesting side note, is the status of the woman's hair, or the immerser's hair, I should say, when going to mikvah. Rashi makes the comment that the robe and makbid thing, he says this is for hair, which Rabbeinu Tam took to mean, when you're dealing with other things that aren't about hair, rove and miut and makbid and not makbid doesn't matter. And he said, how could Rashi say that? He challenged Rashi on several grounds. And the Ritva said, that's not what Rashi was saying. What Rashi was saying is that hair is gauged separately from the rest of the body as its own entity. And Rashi took that stance against other Rishonim, such as the Rambam, who say that hair is gauged with the entire body, which leads to a kula, in that even the majority of the hair is tangled up, we're still going to be okay for tevila because of the rest of the body. Parenthetically, we'll see it elsewhere. That doesn't mean you should do this. Meaning, we say that lechatchila, you should make sure to get rid of all chatzitzos. We don't say, well, you can rely on the fact that it's the mutant in omakbid. That's worth noting as well. And we'll pick up with that, God willing, either on Friday or on Tuesday. The Monday, I give the midrash.